My guest at this time is Karen Kerrigan. She is president of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. She joins me now to discuss the Republican tax reform proposals and what would be most beneficial to small business owners across the United States. And Karen, thanks very much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Well, I've talked to you before, and since the Trump administration began, and of course, the two things that you wanted to see most were tax reform and regulatory relief. We've seen some things on the regulatory front. I'm sure you've got some other things you'd like to see done there, but now Congress is focusing on taxes. The goal, as we've heard it, is lower taxes with fewer hoops to jump through. So how does the House bill do on that front?
You know, we thought it was a really solid bill in terms of lowering rates, making those lower rates permanent, advancing simplicity for small businesses. That was very important, both on the business side and on the individual side. Good things in there that are going to be help the economy grow. I mean, that was the other huge issue, or has been, for small business owners in terms of having robust growth and a robust economy, so that will help their sales. There's been a weak recovery, and their top issue, again, has been the economy and weak sales over the past decade. So this, we think, is very helpful in that regard. It lowers corporate rates to 20%. And, you know, from our membership's perspective, we have a mix of both C-Corps and pass-through businesses. So those lower rates, we think, are going to be very helpful to allow them to, reinvest more of their capital, more of their profits into their businesses at the end of the year. You know, that being said, as this process moves on, you know, both in the House and the Senate, and then when they come back to conference, you know, we are working on a bunch of issues, so that small businesses will be able to keep the value, you know, of that lower rate and get that 25% rate. But it's a process, and we're at the table, and we're trying to improve this bill as much as possible so that it will have the best effects for small business and, of course, for the economy as well.
Karen, let's talk about the business owners that don't fit into the corporate tax, right? That's not how they file. And okay. So let's talk and get some clarity here, because on the one hand, I've heard that taxes for small business owners are going down, but I know that a lot of small business owners end up filing as individuals due to the way that the tax code currently works. And we know now that for those businesses, in this case, that make over $1 million, that tax rate on the individual level is not coming down. So for those businesses that don't operate as corporations, how much relief are they going to see here?
You know, gosh, Greg, it really depends. I have a very, very diverse membership, both from home-based businesses, small manufacturers, tech companies, retailers, et cetera. There are a lot of small businesses that I talk to that say, oh, yeah, this is going to benefit us because it's going to lower. Remember, this is a tax bill that lowers rates for individuals across the business, across the income spectrum, right? So you're going to have our members are going to be lowering from, benefiting from the lower rates, both the business rate, but also on the individual side as well, and the doubling, you know, of the standard deduction. The rules on pass-throughs is what we're working on right now, because, as it stands, there is a complicated formula, the 70-30 formula that basically says, from a pass-through perspective, 70%, you know, will get taxed from a wage perspective, which is the individual rate, which may be higher for some small business owners, and then 30% will get that lower 25% rate. What we're trying to do is to improve that pass-through rate, so maybe there's better parity, perhaps 50-50, perhaps 40-60. There's another test that you could do rather than taking that strict ratio where we want to make that very liberal and provide for some type of safe harbor. I mean, the key right now is allowing more small businesses, particularly those who are in the upper income brackets, to get that 25% rate. And so those we think are resolvable, and, hopefully we're going to get to a point where many more small businesses are going to benefit from the lower rate. But you're absolutely right. We're not lowering that 39% rate. And from a competitiveness perspective, countries across the globe are also lowering that top rate as well. So we need to eventually tackle that in the future, I believe, in order to be competitive on the individual side and on the corporate side.
We're talking with Karen Kerrigan, president of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. And Karen, you mentioned what you thought could be happening if small businesses get what they want here. What are they telling you? Would we see immediate expansion, development, wage growth, job creation, those sorts of things if they get their wish list here? Or is it going to take a while to see some of that stuff because of the sustained downturn, downturn that we saw?
You know, that's a really good question. So, you know, I'll answer it this way. I think the policy headwinds are moving in a very pro-business direction, right? So we've seen on the regulatory front some of the executive orders, you know, some of the regulations that have been rolled back. I mean, just by that alone, you've seen more investment, more optimism, more confidence. And so I do think that if we get a tax bill signed into law, enacted this year, I mean, even if these things are future-oriented, that you're going to have continued growth, continued investment. But there's no doubt about it, Greg. We'd like to see, you know, cuts that immediately go into play in 2018, because that will fuel, again, the optimism and the confidence that is getting us to higher levels of economic growth. We've seen GDP growth now in the past two quarters of 3% or higher, and we haven't seen that in a very long time. So from our perspective, if you do have these immediate cuts on the business side, business rates, and also the expensing piece, Greg, you can't forget about that. Mm-hmm. Full expensing or expanded Section 179 expensing, that's really going to trigger a lot more investment, a lot more confidence, and then you're going to see that growth, that higher growth in the economy as well.
Let's talk about a couple of criticisms coming from the left and even some from the right on one of these questions. The business, especially the corporate tax rate, is very attractive to conservatives, but we're also looking at tax reform, which means tax simplification, which means the end of a number of different deductions, which has some people frustrated and wondering if they're ultimately going to get the same takeaway and if it actually, in some cases, might be paying more in taxes. So while it's obviously looking pretty good for businesses, at least most businesses, will the end of deductions or a lot of them still mean a win for employees here, or are they essentially treading water?
You know, it depends on what state you live in, right, Greg?
You're talking about the state and local tax deduction, right?
You're right. And you know what? I think at the end of the day, you know, you've got a bill here and a process that has to move through the Senate. And, you know, reading the tea leaves over on that side, I fully believe that the state and local deductions are going to be put back in. And because if you want to get something through the Senate and get to 51, you're going to need to do that. And so that's just the practical reality from a political perspective. You know, from a principal perspective, Greg, look at these states, New York, California, others. I mean, there's got to be some type of incentive for them to cut taxes. And so from a principal perspective, I mean, if everything was perfect and ideal, you know, we do think those you know, those deductions should go away, because I think that will help New York, help California, you know, look at ways that they can, you know, cut taxes and be more competitive. But I think right now from the reality and from a political perspective is that those, you know, those deductions are probably going to be put back in, and you're going to have more taxpayers and small businesses benefit from those being put in, back in at the end of the day.
One thing that especially folks on the left like to say is that tax cuts may not bring the type of economic growth that everyone is hoping for. They point to Kansas and the Sam Brownback administration, and they say they got exactly what the conservatives dream of in Kansas, and it didn't work, and they ultimately had to raise taxes again because they weren't getting the revenues that were promised. So is that a fair comparison, and what do you have to say in response to that sort of criticism?
You know, Greg, it's apples and oranges in terms of the tax package that was passed in Kansas. I mean, you are talking sort of a bigger package at the federal level, corporate, AMT repeal, lowering the rates for everybody. You know, the problem with the Kansas tax package, and this is what the Ways and Means Chair and the tax writers are addressing in their package, is this sort of guardrail, again, right, for these pass-throughs. Is you had a situation there where they didn't have guardrails, where people that basically, you know, were claiming wage income as business income to get that vastly lower rate. And so that was a big problem with the Kansas experience. So, but we found, I mean, over and over and over again over time, that lowering taxes is good for the economy. It's good for investment. Look at even a lot of left-wing leaders throughout the world are lowering their corporate rates. They're lowering their individual rates because, you know, they know that's good for the economy. It's good for investment and it's good for jobs. And that's going to happen here as well. If you're lowering those rates on business and on corporations, they're going to bring that money back into the U.S. There is going to be more investment, more entrepreneurship, and that will lead to more wage growth. You know, just look at the past decade where we've been raising taxes, regulating more, and doing things that have held back private sector investment. I mean, that path is not working for our economy, and so we need more private resources going into the economy to make it grow again and more robustly, and tax policy is a really key way to do that.
Two quick questions before we let you go, Karen. First of all, the Congressional Budget Office came out with a score of this House tax bill, as it currently stands, of adding $1.7 trillion to the deficit over the next 10 years. That has been reacted to in a number of different ways from folks on the right. First of all, they say it doesn't include the economic growth projections or dynamic scoring, as they like to say. The other thing I've heard Mark Meadows and a couple of other Republicans say up on Capitol Hill is that the CBO has changed their formula in a way that makes this look worse than it is. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I'll address it this way and do say, well, you know, the government, what they have done always, you know, in terms of their scoring, they've just done it from a static, you know, perspective. So we do think they leave out a lot of, you know, the reality in terms of dynamic scoring and the impact that incentives and reduction and putting more money back into the private economy has on growth and people's behavior and business behavior, and that drives growth. You know, you got to remember, though, the CBO has been notoriously wrong on a whole range of things over the past 5 to 10 years. You know, if you just look at, for example, their predictions on Obamacare, you know, how many people would be insured under Obamacare, really wrong on that. The cost of coverage for Obamacare, they've been dramatically, you know, wrong on that as well. But, you know, I agree with Meadows. They have changed some things to make it look wrong. But also, you know, look at their dynamic scoring is reality in this case. And, you know, if you do it on a static basis, of course those numbers are going to, you know, appear the way that they have. But, you know, we know, again, that incentives, taxes, tax rates, putting more money back into the economy, you know, changes people, companies' behavior. And when you invest more, you know, and if you have more of those dollars, basically, that is going to grow the economy and have a positive impact on the economy moving forward. So, anyway, CBO has been wrong in a lot of things, Greg. And don't get me. I could provide you with a list of at least a dozen. You know, but yeah, they need to get right on the scoring front. They got to include dynamic scoring in terms of what they do in the future.
Lastly, and very quickly, I know that the House bill kills the estate tax, also known as the death tax. From what I've read on the Senate side, they're toying with after the 10 years, after and phasing it out, that it would come back due to concerns about the deficit needing to get to that 51. That is obviously reminiscent of the Bush tax cuts, where the death tax was phased down. Anyone who, you know, lost a loved one in 2010 didn't have to pay the death tax. But now it's back and they eventually raised the threshold for it. But are you okay with that, or does it just need to die?
It needs to die. I mean, this really is an unproductive, you know, wasteful tax. I mean, it really needs to go away. And it's one of those taxes, again, that we're very non-competitive on from a global perspective. It's, you know, it kills family businesses. It does nothing to raise revenue for the government. But, you know, I think, you know, on the Senate side, there are going to be some changes. And it may, in fact, not even go away, you know, with the Senate bill. We're going to see what emerges. But from my perspective, for the growth of the economy, for family-owned businesses, it really is something that needs to go away and needs to be put away for good.
Karen, you've been very generous with your time today. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Karen Kerrigan is president of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.